Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning and welcome to Community Connection on Star 94.5. I'm Monica Mann. It's been a while since we've spoken with District 5 City Commissioner Regina Hill. Lots have been going on, and I just wanted to really bring people up to date, talk about the vast expanse that you cover in your district, the changes that have been made since you've taken office. You've gone through one election. We're getting ready to go through another election, mm-hmm. And on and on and on. So much. So good morning.
Good morning, Monica. It's a pleasure to be back here again with you.
You look great.
Well, thank you so much.
You're weathering the storms.
Indeed.
Because as a city, man, have we been going through a lot.
Yes, but you know, we are city united. We're city strong. And I think the way that our city has gone through certain tragedies together has made us stronger. They say what don't kill you makes you stronger.
We have gone through things that many cities never experience in decades, and we've gone through tumultuous times, deadly times within the last 7 months. If you look back, this has been a year of reckoning and lots of deaths, not only in your district, but throughout the city. And I got to tell you, I am so very proud of how we have handled that. The nation has had their eyes on us a while, and I think that we've done right by them. We still have a ways to go. But because of it, we've put some stop gaps, if you will, into play. And I'd like to talk about those things this morning and what's to come. So the mic is yours.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be back before your listening audience again. Of course, as you just stated, there's been some horrific and tragic times that has happened here in the last 7 months or so. But there's a lot of great things.
Absolutely.
That's happening.
Absolutely.
And that has happened here in the city and in the district that I serve. So I just thank you for allowing me the opportunity to tell you what's good in Orlando and what's good in District 5.
Yeah. You know, let me just make it clear. There are a lot of great neighborhoods that District 5 encompasses besides Paramore. We always hear good and bad. All right. You've got Rock Lake inside District 5, Malibu, Clear Lake, Bunch Manor. We don't hear much about Bunch Manor.
Well, because Bunch Manor and Clear Lake are neighbors. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about Clear Lake,
we're bunching them
together.
Uh-huh.
Yes. It's one of my most celebrated and strongest HOAs is that Bunch Manor Clear Lake HOA, where we have retired judges. Judge Perry lives in that Clear Lake area. Most of our professional teachers and doctors. So that particular Bunch Manor, Sunset, Clear Lake area really have some of our trailblazers and pioneers of old Orlando when we start talking about Black Orlando.
Your district also includes Lake Man, Ivy Lane, Lake Sunset, the Willows, Mercy Drive corridor. Jones High School is in that district as well. How's Jones doing?
Jones is doing fantastic. They'll have a Jones High Unity Day where classes all the way back from the 50s will connect the classes all the way up into 2017. And it's been a lot of planning. But also I wanted to talk about District 5 also encompasses Metro West, Stonebridge, Valencia campus, and of course, what many might not know, all of downtown Orlando, which I call the Tales of Two Cities.
So let's talk about that, why you call it that.
I call it that because the District 5 encompasses all the venues where we've spent almost $1 billion on creating these great entertainment district. Most of my affluent residents live in downtown penthouses and condominiums. And then, of course, we have Mercy Drive, and we have Ivy Lane. We have parts of Paramore, pockets of Paramore, where some might not even have a high school education or make more than $12,000 a year. It's a balancing act because I take the social issues on the west side very serious, but also take noise issues very serious to my downtown residents. So I don't think one complaint is more important than the next. So my years of being a nurse has brought me to a time as of this to be a servant for all people, not just a few.
Let's stop and talk about your background. A nurse from Tavares.
Yes.
Let's talk about that, your background.
Disabled veteran. I was in the military for a couple years and got injured, came home. Been a nurse now since 1993 to current. So yes, oftentimes people think I crawled from underneath a rock in the middle of Paramore, because there has been somewhere along my journey where I've made some poor choices. But for the last 25 years, I've been a nurse taking care of others, second vice commander, implementing programs for veterans since 1991. I've been a business owner, owned my own construction company where I put men to work, cement finishing, drywall, and masonry.
I don't think anybody knows about that.
Indeed, it was called RR Jewel Constructors.
Get out.
Yes, ma'am. Bidded on that first Amway project. I was one of the first graduates of the Turner Construction School of Project Management that the city and Turner did here in the city of Orlando in 2005.
Let's talk about some of the highlights.
Sure.
In the tenure that you've experienced thus far.
I came in with a plan. I came in with a 100-day plan that's there on my website, and it encompasses youth programs and educational opportunities, training. Also, the biggest piece was the housing piece for me. I thought that those that were underserved didn't have adequate housing. And I wanted to make sure that families and children had those things, because how can you talk about training or jobs when a person don't even have a decent place to live?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I remember being that little girl that grew up in Paramore without my own bedroom, that had to put a fan in the window in the summer and it was still hot, mm-hmm. and that lived in a very cold apartment because there was a heater in the wall and it didn't heat the place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very uncomfortable.
Are there changes on the way for people who are still living like that?
There is. Actually, just a month ago, we awarded a project to Invictus Housing, and they will be building 173 units, the first phase of affordable housing there in the old Paramore Village. So that is underway. Here in the upcoming months, I've had staff working the last 2.5 years. Many of these things don't happen overnight, unfortunately.
Sure.
But we will be rolling out a package for 21 affordable housing units to be built there in Paramore. Hans is working with me to create a home buyers club, so these people will already be in the pipeline to move into these homes that will be built. Also, in the Ivy Line corridor, we had been working in the last couple years with Habitat for Humanity, and they have created 50 affordable houses there in that Butler's Preserve, and I made sure that we gave them down payment assistance. So up until today, I have allotted $691,000 mm-hmm. for down payment assistance to those that have moved into Butler's Preserve in District 5. So it goes on and on. I just awarded, and it's been completed there in the Paramore neighborhood. It's called Richard Allen's Gardens, and it sits right there on Carter Street in Paramore under I-4. If you ever come down Carter Street by Nicky's
mm-hmm.
and you look to the right, you'll miss it if you're not looking for it. And it's called Richard Allen's, and you will find most of our disabled or fixed income seniors live in that complex. And we awarded $700,000 to Onyx to rehab that property. So it's in the process of being rehabilitated unit by unit. We have the LIFT project. We've given almost $500,000 to there in the Orange Center corner.
When I think about the construction of the new not even the stadium, but the refurbishing of the stadium, and how many have become displaced, and are they going to be able to come back? Are they going to be able to afford to come back?
And that has always been a concern of mine. I do want to say that no one has been displaced on my watch by the city of Orlando, but bringing people back is very important to me. And when we're giving out these incentives, one of the main things for me and making sure that's in that contract is that there is low and moderate income housing and a set aside amount. I'm a hands-on type of person. I think you guys see me in the community, and I am a micromanager.
Which can be a good thing and a bad thing, too.
Yeah, but when it comes to these type of affairs, it's needed, because if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And the people expect for me to be at the table so that they're not on the menu. I take that seriously, because each time I'm in a meeting, I'm not in the meeting for Regina Hill. I'm in the meeting for those that are voiceless, right? For those that have afforded me the opportunity to be at the table. And so I bring a whole district and a whole demographic of people, of citizens with me. And it's not just underserved. It's all people that believe in equal and fair rights.
A thought just came to my mind. How much of this did you know about before you got into your job? We talked about the emotion of the key fob working. I don't know if you remember our very first interview where you said, well, it's good to be able to go back. And I know that McKee still gets me into City Hall. And I know that I'm learning and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. You've learned a lot since you've been there.
Well, indeed. There's always something to learn. I'm fortunate to have the support of our mayor and the support of his staff that has made sure they've given me great briefings and also understand what my desires are and what I'm focused on. It does take a team to get many of the things I've accomplished done. No man is an island when it comes to this. And it's been great community partners that has helped me along the way. But I do think, especially in this political realm, you must have some type of life experiences and any type of realm or leadership. It's great to have book knowledge, but if you don't have any life experiences underneath your belt, you can't really truly lead. I'm just going to say that part. I mean, you can probably be a great accountant, a great lawyer, but when we're talking about service, you have to have gone through something in order to have that empathy or know how it feels to make a certain decision. So because of my life experiences, good or bad, being that business owner, being that soldier, knowing how to respect authority, being that nurse, knowing how to serve others, because I meet people from all walks. I just don't meet people over on the West Side. I meet multi-million dollar CEOs and presidents of major Fortune 500 companies, and I need to know how to negotiate with them. I need to know how to actually at times even compromise with my colleagues on certain policies, knowing what fight to fight and what fight not to fight.
How has that been for you?
I tell you, I've been fortunate enough not to been in a whole lot of fights. I think people respect my work ethic, and they know usually when I'm trying to get something accomplished, it's not about Regina Hill. It's about what's good for the citizens and especially my district that I serve. So I haven't had a lot of pushback. What I have found is a lot of people that want to help make my district and make this city a better place. What I have found is people are coming to my office and saying, we want to help turn this tide around where there's a separation or there's a gap. How can we help you bridge the gap? I'm just fortunate to have everyday citizens, right? Calling up and saying, how can I volunteer at one of your events? Fraternities and sororities and associations coming to say, hey, can I come and help mentor a young boy, a girl of color? It really hasn't been a lot of heavy lifting alone. It's been, I would say, what you would call a embracing elbow by elbow. And it's not just one community. It's white, it's Hispanic, it's gay.
Well,
it's
good.
It's Muslim. It's, I said, the true essence of the Rainbow Coalition.
It is right there in your district, huh?
Well, and not even in my district, but even from outside of my district. We're talking about people that's coming from outside wanting to make a difference there in my district.
So we talk about the highlights. Give me some lowlights. Where are some things that we still need aid in and you still need the community to come forward in? We're still dealing with building a school in the area. We still are looking forward to some other jobs coming into the area. Let's talk about that.
You know, we have the blueprint there.
Yes.
And that's still up and running. As of even yesterday, we've sent folk out to the airport and we're sending people to work on the ultimate I-4. We're still helping them with resume writing. We still have case managers helping them. We're trying to put a job training program in place. But of course, one of the most powerful things that you can give, and I think the best social program, is a job. You know, we can put all these social programs in place, but if people can't work and take care of their families with living wages, with real wages, we're still fighting a uphill battle, trying to connect with private partnerships to create everyday jobs. Especially I'm focused more so on young men of color right now. We know that it's needed and giving folks second chances. But I'm more so focused right now. I'm trying to put a entrepreneurship incubator together. I've been working on it a couple years. Staff now is trying to find a location. We have the blueprint for it. Because if people can't find a job, they can find something they're good at, and they become millionaires from that. So trying to make sure that these young men and women of color that have so many gifts can now focus on creating their own jobs and creating jobs for others and giving them the resources to do it.
This is going to be interesting, especially we know that with the opportunity for people to have a second real chance at life, if we don't do that, our crime rate will continue to soar. Yes. No matter how much education you have, the housing situation will forever be the same. Yes. So that means that homelessness will prevail. So the entrepreneurial incubator is going to be, especially in that corridor,
yes,
so necessary.
Yes.
I know that there are a lot of empty warehouses in that Paramore district.
And see, that's the challenge that I have right there. And I'm trying to figure out a way how to expand our CRA. The CRA is the community redevelopment funding that goes out. Matter of fact, we've already, this last year and a half, given out hundreds of thousands of dollars with MEBA, which is the minority assistance program that you can get up to $36,000 for minority businesses, women and minorities, Hispanic or Black or Asian. They're in the Paramore area. It goes from downtown, from Roslyn to Westmoreland. Anything after Westmoreland is now in the county CRA.
Okay.
So those warehouses that you're talking about, which I think we should have manufacturing jobs and all those type companies there, we're working with Lyft on that, I am.
Okay.
So that's another entity. But that CRA funding and monies is right there. That's a budget that's right there I can do something with. So trying to find a building in Paramore that lies there is very important. Trying to expand that CRA to OBT is going to take a collaboration of myself and Victoria Siplin and our two mayors to do that. I do have the support of Mayor Buddy Dyer to attempt to expand that CRA so that we can take advantage of those warehouses.
Of what's there.
And what's there.
Because you got the housing for it. I want to talk some personal stuff that, that has been going on, and we got some elephants in our midst, and let's just get that out there. I want to talk about the capturing of a criminal that had this whole city. I know I was away when the shootings occurred here recently, and when I came back, I just could not believe what had transpired, but I also couldn't believe that when it was time for me to come back to work, how nervous I was personally. Where the radio station is, Commissioner, that Walmart is right there. The last manhunt for him was done in the woods right behind this radio station. As it is, we all have to come in and be buzzed in through a gated area. I have a problem with that gate closing and having nowhere to run should someone leap over that fence. And I came to work thinking, oh my God, what if this happens? So my husband had to follow me to work. He's licensed with his pistol, just to make sure. And I thought about, this is just me, I'm one person. Imagine how our whole city felt all this time. I know that you were friends with Sade's mom. I know that you probably have seen or run across Markeith Lloyd over the years. Emotionally, how are you today? I know that you were good friends with Deborah Clayton, Lieutenant Clayton. How are you today? What's next?
I do want to clear up one thing. I've never in my life met Markeith Lloyd, didn't even know his name until this incident, and never traveled in the same circles with him. So I wouldn't have had an opportunity outside of, in some ironic way, that he took some folk, or suspected taking one person that was near and dear to me, is now Lieutenant Deborah Clayton, being a great friends with Sade's mother and sharing something in common with her is
losing your daughters.
Losing beautiful daughters at the age of 24. So it opened up a lot of wounds that hadn't healed, things that I always daily push in the back as if it has not happened. That's probably a way that I've dealt with the fact of losing my daughter and trying to push on. Seem like she's on vacation. But I tell you, with Sergeant Thomas's, well, Clayton, murder execution being such a high profile case and the suspected killer being on the news so much and her face is there. I was just saying this morning, because I think he's going to court, is it hurts every day and it brings it back every day with my daughter. The thought is there with me every day, but even when you're so busy, and that's probably why I stay so busy, you don't forget it, but it's soothing. But every day I have to see my friend face, and you know, it's still something I haven't quite gotten over as of yet. But yes, the whole community was in fear. Business owners, I know people now are able to rest and feel a little bit safer, but even with the Pulse shooting, it just reminds us that we're not ever safe anymore.
We're not exempt. Moving forward at this moment, and I wouldn't be able to have a real interview without even bringing that up. You know? And thank you for being so open. You're raising your grandson now.
Yes, I am.
That's a bittersweet.
Yeah, it is. I tell you, I had him now since he's 2 years old, and he's growing. He's the joy of my life. People say, you're just so strong, Commissioner Hill, but because of that little boy, he gives me a purpose on a whole nother level, right? And he looks exactly like his mother, and he acts exactly like his mother, so he gives me a piece of her. I'm a pretty transparent person. I'm an open person, and I like to say I'm a real person. So I tell you a story, and I tell the listeners a story. You know, God don't make any mistakes. And I was a single parent of three, single mother. So, you know, the roles of welfare and food stamps. My daughter was in college when she conceived Poppy, as I dearly call him. And I was quite upset, because when she told me she was pregnant, the only thing I could see is, this isn't good. I don't want you to have to struggle in life. I want you to have a child, but I want you to be married, and I need you to walk down the aisle like any mother wants for their daughter. So even me being a Christian, I said, having this baby isn't an option. I prayed to God, I said, God, forgive me, but this isn't what I want for my daughter. And my daughter's a strong-minded young lady, and I thought I could bully her into what I wanted, right? And she denied me. Usually they listen to me, right? Because I'm, believe it or not, I'm pretty forceful and strong when it comes to my kids. And
believe it or not, girl, I've been to commission meetings, all right? Come on now. You went to come on now. Go ahead from there.
So she did. And I was a little dismayed that she was, because I thought it was going to be the end of everything. But she went ahead and came home from Tallahassee and continued her college education and worked and just did a beautiful job. Became a banker and, you know, had her own space and her own car and very independent, and was furthering her education while she was this great mother before it passed. But I didn't know that that child was supposed to be here. I did not know then that that little boy, that God will call her home soon, right? And that he would be the one that gave me the strength to continue on, and that he would be the one to allow me to continue to have a piece of him. It's just me and him. So late at night when I'm up, and I'm, because that's when it's the worst for me, is when it's quiet.
Yeah.
When I'm out here working and I'm with
you're
the
busy.
People, I'm busy. But when I go home and, you know, I'm nobody misses at this time, it's just me and that little boy. And at night while I'm working and studying about policy or trying to plan what I want to do in my district, I start thinking about her. And I look over at him and it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, what do you say at the end point of that? You know, yeah. I will say this. With what I do, and I'm going to ask you this a little bit more, I want to go into it, but I'm just going to see what you say, and I want to look into your eyes. One of the things that I've been committed to is bridging the gap of communication between mothers and their daughters,
yeah.
especially between the ages of 14 to 21. Those mm-hmm. were the most horrific times in my own life, and I did not have good communication with my mom. Mm-hmm. I was very headstrong, and there was nothing you could tell me, and I made a lot of wrong choices, choices that I'm paying for to this day. Mm-hmm. What I would like for you to do is join me in this effort to help bridge that gap and maybe share your story at one point about what your experience has been.
And
not that you could have changed anything about how or what, but just to share it.
Right.
And somebody can benefit from that, Regina, if I may just say, you know.
I don't even have to think about that, because that's why God has allowed me to have this opportunity. A lot of people have came to me and said, you're the commissioner now. Why do you want to share you're a felon? Why do you want to share that you're arrested? I say, because that's why he did it, so that I can tell others, and that's who I am. I'm not ashamed of that. But I do know this, that I came from a generation of hurt, right? I came from a generation. My mother, from what I found out later, didn't get hugs from her mother. I never got hugs from my mother. And I can truly say, like you said, it was some volatile times with my daughter's teenage life up until then. Poppy what bonded us together. Poppy mm-hmm. was what brought me and my daughter relationship full circle. Because my mother didn't know how to love outside of providing. Her mother didn't know how to love outside of providing.
So
and
what
I didn't know how to love.
Yeah.
So now the lessons I've learned is, good or bad, I'm going to tell my children how much I love them.
That's right.
I try to spend a little bit more time with them. And I ask for forgiveness, because there's some things that, you know, I denied them
mm-hmm.
and thinking that I was right. And mm-hmm. and I try to listen to them a little bit more.
I got to tell you, what you've shown this morning is beyond transparency. It's showing that no matter what, life is what it is, mm-hmm. and you're going to meet it on those terms. Mm-hmm. And I need to end here now, only for time's sake, but mm-hmm. I could talk with you all morning, and the people could listen to you all mm-hmm. morning. And I thank you, Commissioner mm-hmm. Regina Hill, for being so open and letting us know that I'm looking at a picture of you working in one of those gardens you're talking about, and just letting us know that mm-hmm. we can reach out to you. Should we reach you through your staff member, or is there a way to reach out to your office directly?
Sure. And if I may add, that's mm-hmm. what I see our city and our district as a garden. It takes one to go and till, another to plant, another to water.
Yeah.
And then the whole community gets to harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I love community gardens in that light. But you can reach me at Regina, R-E-G-I-N-A. @cityoforlando.net. Also 407-246-2005, and that's my main number. Mm-hmm. I have a City of Orlando Facebook page, Commissioner Regina Hill, District 5. Log in there and see what's going on in my district. We have a website that I have there at the City of Orlando. It's the District 5 website. And never feel at ease to just touch me on the shoulders if you see me out and about. I am of the people and from the people, and I'm just an everyday person that God decided to use and the people decided to choose.
All right. And she rhymes too, y'all. Thank you so much, Commissioner, for finding it not robbery to give us some time this morning. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
It's an open door. Come on back.
I will.
Thank you so much, Commissioner, and thank you for listening to another edition of Community Connection on Star 94.5.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.